பாஞ்சஜன்ய பத்து. கற்பூரம் நாருமோ, கமலப்பூ நாருமோ, திருப்பவளச் செவ்வாய்தான் தித்து திருக்குமோ, மறுப்பொசித்த மாதவன் தன் வாய்ச்சுவையும் நாற்றமும் விருப்புற்று கேட்கின்றேன் சொல் ஆழிவெண் சங்கே. கடலில் பிறந்து கருதாது பஞ்சஜனன் உடலில் வளர்ந்து போய் ஊழியான், கைத்தலத்திடரில் குடியேறி தீயசுரர் நடலை படமுழங்கும் தோற்றத்தாய் நர்சங்கே. தடவரையில் மீதே சரத்கால சந்திரன் உடையுவாவில் வந்து எழுந்தாலே போல், நீயும் வட மதுரையார் மன்னன் வாசுதேவன் கையில் குடியேறி வீற்றிருந்தாய் கோலப் பெருஞ்சங்கே.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Asymptote Podcast. I'm Dominic Boyle. As you may have heard, Asymptote is 30. Well, not 30 years, but 30 issues, and we're celebrating on the Asymptote blog by introducing one issue from our archives every day in September. That's a lot of literature to keep up with. But in all of this excitement, you also shouldn't forget that October 1st is the deadline for Asymptote's yearly Close Approximations translation contest. So if you have a translation that's waiting to get discovered, don't wait any longer and submit today at asymptotejournal.com/contest. As you also may have heard, podcasts excel at things to do with sound. And one of my favorite things about the journal is that, along with the translation, we publish audio recordings of the works in the original language whenever possible, often read by the authors or translators themselves. So I decided to take this opportunity, as we dig through Asymptote's past, to revisit some of the many fantastic recordings which we've hosted as part of our mission to make world literature accessible to all. To be honest, when I started my search, I thought we'd be able to cover a selection from all 30 issues in one episode. But it turned out to be challenging enough to choose just what to include from one issue. So this episode, a selection from 2011 up to January 2014. And I hope we can get to the rest in my next episode.
உலகளந்தால் வாயமுதம் கண்படை கொள்ளில் கடல் வண்ணன் கைத்தலத்தே, பெண்படையார் உன்மேல் பெரும் பூசல் சாற்றுகின்றார் பண்பல செய்கின்றாய் பாஞ்சஜன்ய.
And we've actually already started with our journey into Asymptote's past. The intro music came from our October 2013 issue. It's song 7, White Conch from the Fathomless Sea, which comes from the Sacred Song of the Lady, a collection of 14 songs by the 9th century South Indian saint Andal, translated from the Tamil by Priya Sarukai Chabria and Ravi Shankar, and chanted here by Dr. Anita Ratnam. Up next is a piece from our July 2011 issue by Swedish author Jonas Hassan Kamidi and translated by Rachel Wilson Broyles. The piece, titled Only in New York, is an exuberant ode to the city by way of voicemail message. In her translator's note, Wilson Broyles says that what Kamiri captures so well in this piece, what made it fun to translate and makes it fun to read, is this strange personal relationship that so many of us have with New York City, whether we're from the American Midwest or from Sweden or from the city itself, even whether we've been there or not. In Only in New York, we get to experience the other side of this usually one-sided relationship. Having lived in and left New York myself, I can wholeheartedly agree.
Bara i New York, av Jonas Hassan Kemiri. Hej, du har kommit till New York. New York kan inte svara just nu, men det beror inte på att New York sover, för New York sover aldrig. New York är för upptagen med att leva livet så som det borde levas. New York sitter i en framsusande gul taxi och ser Manhattan glöda i soluppgången. New York svävar i luften efter att ha avlossat ett perfekt hoppskott på basketplanen på West 4th Street. New York hänger runt på piren nedanför Christopher Street med de stenhårda hiphopparbögarna som hoppar hopprep och hälsar på varann med kinpussar. New York står på ett platt skymningstak i Greenpoint och tittar ut över sin egen blinkande höghussilhuett och tänker: New York är oslagbar. Och som du märker så talar New York alltid om sig själv i tredje person. Lämna ett meddelande. Hallå? Hej, det är jag. Vi träffades våren 97 när jag besökte dig efter gymnasiet och svartjobbade på den där sunkiga klädaffären på Broadway. Den som sålde pastellfärgade mockalinnen. Du minns väl hur kul vi hade? Vi delade varje sekund. Hur vi vandrade upp och ner för oändliga avenyer. Vi hängde runt på takfester i gryningar. Fan vad jag saknar dig. Och oss. I alla fall, jag ska skriva en text om dig och ha lite frågor. Ring mig när du hör det här.
Next, I stumbled on a heartbreaking but beautiful collection of letters written by the Austrian author Jean Emery in Salzburg, October 16th, 1978. The three letters were his suicide notes and appear in our July 2012 issue, translated by Adrian West. Two of them, read by Leopold Lippert, show starkly different sides of the same man, who lists his numerous honors and prizes at the end of one note and asks his wife to save their collection of stuffed animals at the end of the other.
An die Salzburger Polizeibehörden. Salzburg, 16. Oktober 1978. An die betroffenen Polizeibehörden. Sehr geehrte Herren, ich unterzeichnete Hans Meyer, genannt Jean Emery, Schriftsteller, wohnhaft in Brüssel, 56 Avenue Kochen, erkläre hiermit, dass ich mir freiwillig, im Vollbesitz meiner geistigen Kräfte, den Tod gebe. Ich bitte um sofortige Verständigung meiner Frau bzw. Witwe Maria Meyer, geborene Eschenauer, derzeit und bis zum 19. desselben im Hotel Regina, Wien-Währinger Straße. Telefonische Nachricht, wenn irgend möglich. Es liegt mir sehr daran, dass dies ohne Verzug geschehe, sodass meiner Frau überflüssige Formalitäten von Belgien aus erspart bleiben. Ich gehöre keiner Religionsgemeinschaft an und würde die Einäscherung meiner Reste jeder anderen Bestattung vorziehen. Sollte allerdings meine Frau eine Beerdigung verlangen, ist ihrem Wunsche stattzugeben. Eine größere Summe Geldes, rund 4060 D-Mark, und etliche belgische Franken sind nach Bezahlung der Hotelkosten und allenfalls auflaufender Spesen meiner Witwe auszufolgen. Der Betrag liegt in einem Briefumschlag auf meinem Tisch. Mein Reisepass liegt dabei. Dies verfügt mit bestem Dank und Entschuldigung für die Umstände, die er bereitet, Hans Meyer, Jean Emery. Ehrenmitglied des österreichischen PEN, Mitglied des PEN der BRD, der Akademie der Künste Berlin, der Deutschen Akademie für Sprache und Dichtung Darmstadt, Preisträger der Bayerischen Akademie der Schönen Künste 1972, Lessing-Preis der Stadt Hamburg 1977, Preis für Publizistik der Stadt Wien 1977. Die Ehrungen führe ich ausschließlich an, dass meine Witwe entsprechend rücksichtsvoll behandelt werde. Telefonnummer des Hotel Regina, Wien, 42 76 81. An Maria Emery, Salzburg, 16. Oktober 1978. Geliebtes Herzi Lilli, allergeliebtes, vor dem ich sterbend in Schuld knie. Ich bin auf dem Weg ins Freie. Es ist nicht leicht, aber dennoch die Erlösung. Denke, wenn du kannst, nicht mit Groll an mich und nicht mit allzu qualvollem Schmerz. Du weißt alles, was ich dir zu sagen habe, dass ich dich unendlich liebte und dass du das letzte Bild bist, das vor meinen Augen steht. Schau, mein Herzensliebling, ich bin am Ende meiner Kräfte und kann meinem Niedergang, intellektuellen, physischen, psychischen, nicht zusehen. Denk auch an das schöne Gedicht von Christian Wagner, das du einmal für mich ausschnittest. Ich habe, mit Ausnahme der Jahre der Niedertracht, aufrecht gelebt und will aufrecht, nebbig mit Pulverbarm, sterben. Meine ganze Sorge bist du. Ein winziger Trost ist mir nur, dass du auf bescheidener Basis halbwegs gesichert bist. Mir ist, wie dem armen Charles, grundschlecht, wenn ich an dich denke, und ich fühle mich tief elend. Aber du hast mich immer verstanden, und so habe ich an diesem letzten Abend meines Lebens die Hoffnung, dass du mich auch dieses letzte Mal verstehen wirst. Bitte, bitte, sei mir nicht gram. Jetzt ist mir ja, als ahnte ich, du würdest am Ende doch verzeihen. Ein Schimmer, eine bloße Ahnung von Seelenfrieden. Geh nach Wien, Herzilili, wo du engere Freunde hast. Ich danke dir für alles, für so sehr viel, für den Jean-Marie, der nur durch dich mit dir bestand. Ich küsse dich in tiefer Liebe, dein Pink. Bitte schmeiß die Fetzenkinder nicht weg. Nachsatz. Mary, sie kam auf mein Drängen nach Europa. Ihr Flug zurück nach Pocatello sollte gesichert sein und noch etwas für ihre ersten Wochen dort. Meinen Herzenswunsch, du mögest sie noch einmal umarmen wie eine Schwester, wage ich kaum auszusprechen.
Next, we move on to poetry. From our January 2012 issue, every language has its own melody, and that's especially true of Vietnamese, a language with six tones. Two poems by Vietnamese poet Bui Chat from his collection April Breaks Guns masterfully leverage the rhythmic and tonal resources of Vietnamese to create, from abstract lists and juxtapositions, an arcing dramaturgy which comes alive when read by translator Jack J. Huynh. From our January 2012 issue, a selection from April Breaks Guns.
Bài đọc liền các ngữ vườn, sự im lặng đáng sợ, không sợ ráng chịu. Theo khúc suy và lê ôn. Ốp. Ra khá. EDP. Khoáng rào kín. Ốc rê. Ráng. Ôm. Ráng vơi. Ân đình. Ráng ư rêu. Ông. Ráng. Ông và vẽ. Râu cầm, ôi phé, rây, ôi say rì, rì bê, ư rê nô, rì, ư rô bù rô, rì móm tròn, ô, cái rôm, ô dù, ruốn, ô liu, Rồng, ô rô, rùa, ô tô, ruồi, ốp sen, ruột, ốm bẻ, ốm thỏi, rửa, gọi, ốm điêu thần, rường, ốm thăm hoi, rương, om xì, rượu mật om, đói và chiếu, treo lên cây ỏi, vô tư, hái huê, hân họ, bước xuống vườn huệ, huế, ngắt nụ xì tinh, mực tím tứ mời lớn nụ thì xin mực xanh thứ mọi ốm the ra mỉm mỉm nhẹ nhàng em bán mình rồi trời ơi anh tìm tí tê dễ sợ ô hi bao tiền một chiếc mây bay dù thuyền cũng đàn sao anh không xám tàu lục thời không nguyên luyên thiết bây giờ em đã có thuyền tiền như con chim truyền khó nắm như cài dưới sông khó loại khá dưới sông khó khí cầm bắt nói thật chớ ca dưới bể bạch mình răng đi nói thiệt lại về trèo lên ngòn khi hân hở lần nữa người chờ hoa nở mâm đờ ban tây rờ càng và lá ngậm ngùi. Nguồn trầm bán trá mật từ ơ và ere từ điển bí thường văn hóa thế giới phù lục nhà xuất bản Đà Nẵng trường viết văn Nguyễn Du tháng 10 1997.
Skipping ahead a few years, in 2014, Asymptote launched its international translation contest, Close Approximations, which awards emerging translators with a combined $3,000 in prize money. Translator Owen Good won the Poetry Prize with his rendering of Churning and Other Poems by Hungarian poet Krisztina Toth. As I mentioned at the top, this year could be your turn, and our deadline to submit to this year's contest is October 1st. In the winter of 2014, Asymptote also had a special event in New York City. And there, author and translator Elliot Weinberger read the poem Tourist from Good's winning entry. The writing is sparse, and the tone almost lackadaisical. But as Good said in his translator's note, Toth's writing always packs a kick. Take a listen.
In the town where you didn't come with me, I arrived in the evening. Everyone was headed home. Women with locked faces, well-groomed men. It was screamingly obvious I'm not from here and dead tired. It was a double bed, but with just one suite laid on the pillow. At the reception, they had called my attention to the safe. I wondered what I could put in it that I'd leave behind as a souvenir, something that's uncontainable, precious, and from then on how I'd have to go on so that as soon as possible I could forget the code. In the town where you didn't come with me, it was cooler than home. I dandered the length of windy streets, constantly checking the phone. Among the shelves of a Chinese shop, I filled an hour. The suspicious shopkeeper watched me from behind the cash till. It was screamingly obvious I'm not from here and dead tired. How fragile we are, murmured Sting on the radio. I paid, rummaging about for the change. At home, the robot, which survived the cargo hold, broke down straight away. It span around itself, keeled over onto the carpet, and just stared, as though, like my son said for batteries, his heart had been ripped out. Although when you did come, it was never good. In a different town, a sore suddenly appeared on your mouth in the night. We couldn't think what the English is for herpes. You pouted and pointed at your mouth in the pharmacy, leaning over the counter like a Romeo. Finally, the woman in uniform got it. Disgusted, she served us. In a third town, the toilet became blocked. We stared at the toilet bowl in our friend's apartment. There was the turd, like the end of a tail on a lurking animal. When we flushed, the animal growled. We didn't dare aggravate it further. The Portuguese plumber asked where we're from, perhaps weighing up whether we had flushing toilets there, flap-levered flushes, and the like. If you don't feel them loathing you, they've already screwed you. If you don't feel them loathing you, they've already screwed you, you said that night in bed. We were speaking about plumbers instead of making love. The town where you didn't come with me, I'd soon walked all over. On the main square, an ornate clock measured the time not spent with you. In the hotel lift, a man with a laptop stared and stared. Early morning aftershave smell hung about him. I could love anyone as long as it's not you, I thought at the time. We could go for a walk. Clumsily, he'd hold the umbrella. I'd lie that you're calling me from home, even though it was just my balance update. I completely ran out of everything, like I'd run out of reason, hanging off me my bedraggled dress, my life. It was screamingly obvious that I'm not from here and dead tired. On the coffee machine, I pressed at the wrong button. I stepped back. The steam poured out. There wasn't a clean table in sight. The town where you didn't come with me was sown with rain. 3 years it took for me to come back. Since then, the downpour has grown to seed. Between translucent stems cutting a path with my umbrella, I made it to the shop. The stock had barely changed. I bought a purse, and the old one, which you knew too, I threw into a dumpster in the hotel car park. Nobody saw, but I still felt like a pickpocket who'd robbed someone who isn't even in this poem, a cheat who sets off with a rolling suitcase, leaving behind a past unpaid for. The town where you didn't come with me, I remember well as a gap in my mind. How many places I've been without you since. To tell the truth, it's you I can thank that I became an expert tourist in my life. I cross from year to year, never forgetting that, wherever I am, sometime I'll have to go home. Until then, with a good map, I do well. I always make it during sleepless nights through crowded alleys of memories I roam. I recall the continent of a past life, where, in a bygone bathroom, like an aging offended punk with cream dried into his white hair, standing there turned to the wall, your stupid electric toothbrush.
Well, that's all for this episode of the Asymptote Podcast. Remember, visit asymptotejournal.com to read these works and all of our content from 2011 to our most recent issue from July 2018 for free. And if you want to support Asymptote, remember to head on over and click that little button at the top right which says donate. World literature needs your support. I'm Dominic Boyle. Thanks for listening.
Esto, como una reproducción a escala del hielo que remita al dibujo oficial de un copo de nieve. La simetría de unas líneas que no están en la nieve, que sean clavos grandes, que entre ellos haya plumas blancas, que al hacerse más grandes, den cuenta de lo que significa hacerse grande, fragilidad. Lo que hace a las líneas entrecruzadas decir nieve. ¿Cuántas líneas sobre un papel se necesitan para verla? Alguien se pregunta al mirar que nieva tras la ventana. Luego pasa la vista sobre el dibujo en dirección al que hizo antes, de un animal.